Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter, which you heard read earlier. Our Gospel text this morning is much more than a lesson in proper etiquette at dinner parties. It is a lesson in Christian humility and love in service toward your neighbor. Holy Scripture records that Jesus dined with many tax collectors and sinners of every stripe. And in our text this morning, he accepts an invitation to dine at the home of a leader of the Pharisees, and that on the Sabbath day. Could go wrong. To be invited to the home of such a prestigious religious leader and break bread with all the best and the brightest of the Pharisees and leaders, well, that would be quite an honor. But this invitation's different. It is a trap, and Jesus knows it. This isn't his first interaction with the Pharisees, and this invitation, Jesus knew, was not about scholarly discussion of the Pentateuch or the Psalms. This dinner is so that the religious leaders can watch him closely, hoping to catch him in a mistake in his words or actions and arrest him. Well, as they're in the home in front of Jesus, the man with dropsy. It's a condition we call edema, swelling of the body due to a buildup of fluids. And Jesus already knows the hearts of the religious leaders. So before anyone has a chance to say the word, Jesus says, he responds to the lawyers and the Pharisees saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" It sounds like an easy yes or no question. It's simple. Is it lawful? And if anyone would have the answer, certainly it would be someone in this house full of lawyers and priests and Pharisees whose job it is to be experts in the law. But no one says a word. No discussion. No whispering amongst themselves. Everyone remains silent. So Jesus takes the man and heals him and sends him on his way. You see, the lawyers and the Pharisees recognize that they have been caught in their own trap. They know that it's not only lawful to heal on the Sabbath, but it's also required, because healing is an act of common decency. It is loving your neighbor as yourself. If it would have been one of their own children or one of their animals, sick, in a well, whatever the case may be, they would not have hesitated. They would have rescued or healed on the Sabbath. There's no shame or violation of God's law of rescuing one of your own people, even if it were on the Sabbath. So these religious leaders must remain silent. They do not dare answer. To answer yes would be to condemn the whole Pharisaic legal system that they spend all their time defending. And to answer no would be to openly confess to Jesus that they did not love others as much as they selfishly loved themselves. The religious leaders are blinded by their own egos, and they are so preoccupied with catching Jesus in their own trap, they don't recognize the real problem. They don't see the man with dropsy as a person hurting and in need. They only see him as a means to an end. They're blinded by their self-righteousness and animosity for Jesus. When Jesus looks at the man, he sees the man for who he is. He's a child of God, someone in need, suffering and in misery, carrying the shame of his disease. And in Jesus' rich love and compassion, he heals the man and sends him on his way. Furthermore, Jesus sees the religious leaders for who they truly are. Jesus didn't have to go to the house that day, even though he knew what was going to happen. But it was out of his love and compassion that is unlimited that drew him to the house. His willingness to eat in the house of the ruler of the Pharisees among all these religious elite demonstrates Jesus' love for all people. Now, the lawyers and the Pharisees are focused on the observance and the enforcement of the law and the traditions of men. Jesus, on the other hand, is focused on grace and salvation. The leaders are blind in sin and in need of Jesus' healing, which he alone can give. He alone can open their eyes and forgive their sins. Jesus comes to the home ready to heal not only the man with dropsy, but to heal the sin-sick leaders and cleanse them unto life everlasting. But they refuse to hear. They refuse to open their eyes and believe. Fortunately, like those religious leaders, there are many people in our world today who call upon the name of the Lord, who sit in his presence, who listen to his teachings, but they're blinded by their own self-righteousness, refusing to open their eyes and believe. As the dinner guests jockey around for position, for seats of honor, Jesus notices how each one chooses his seat according to how important he thought he was. So Jesus tells them two short parables. In the first parable, Jesus teaches Christian humility. He's not suggesting that you merely pretend to be humble while a self-righteous ego wells up inside of you. No, Jesus is teaching us that regardless of your education or your tax bracket, station, life, you truly humble yourselves and consider others more significant than you. When you're invited to a wedding feast, rather than sitting in the best spot, choose the least desirable place. Because if you choose the best spot, someone else more important than you is going to come along, and the host is going to have to tell you, you need to move down here to the less desirable place. You will be humiliated among all your friends and neighbors. So instead, choose the least desirable place, and then when the host sees you, he will invite you up, and you will have honor in the eyes of everyone else. So does this scenario work out in real life? Well, that's not really the point of the parable. The point of the parable is the danger of the sin of idolatry. You making an idol of yourself, how holy and pious I am and deserving of the highest place. Idolatry of pride and thinking too highly of oneself. Jesus says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So, fellow Christian, do you desire to be viewed as more important and exalted above others for your deeds and accomplishments? Are you content in this world to allow your left hand not to know what your right hand is doing? Do you view those in a lower tax bracket or lower education as unworthy of your time? Or are you a friend and good neighbor to the least and the lowly? Do you thank God that you're not like all those other sinners way out there, the gossips, the gluttons, the adulterers? Or do you humbly cry out to God to be merciful upon you, a poor, miserable sinner? Well, if you and I are honest with ourselves, we recognize that our sinful heart, always curves back in on itself, exalting yourself. You and I enjoy nothing more than sitting in the Pharisaical seat of judgment and casting stones at those who we deem lower than ourselves. We even twist Jesus' words into self-righteousness, saying to ourselves, well, gee, look how humble I am today. I didn't brag. I did all these good deeds. Look at the sacrifices I made for the church and all the money I donated. Well, that is not true humility. That is pride disguised as the lies of the devil. Disguised by the lies of the devil, puffing yourself up in exaltation like the leaders in our text. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And the second parable Jesus teaches us what it looks like to act and behave as a Christian, acting and behaving in love and service toward your neighbor. Jesus says, when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So I ask you a question, dear Christian, and when you read through this text this morning, can you find yourself anywhere in the text? Are you the humble? Are you the self-exalted? Do you receive only family and friends and rich neighbors? Or do you receive those who cannot repay you? It's an uncomfortable question, but perhaps it is a trick question. Because if we use our text this morning as a measuring stick, well, we're merely Pharisees. Pharisees trying to work our way into heaven by our good works of the law. The difference between law and gospel, in any action statement, if you are the subject of the verb, it is a law statement. So if you say, I did this and that for God, that is a law statement. Just as if you say, I did not do this and that because I love God, well, that is also a love statement, or a law statement. Now, a gospel statement is any time, most often, any time your triune God is the subject of the verbs. Anything that God does, because God does all the work. Father, Son, Holy Spirit does all the work. Whenever the Holy Trinity is a subject of the verb, that is a gospel statement. And the gospel alone saves. He does all the work. And within the gospel of Jesus, there is no room for human pride, good deeds, or works to earn God's favor. Your earthly possession and all your work and accomplishments accomplish nothing toward your salvation. So Jesus' two parables are less than about proper etiquette at a wedding feast than they are about how the marriage feast of the Lamb in God's kingdom works. The law is not there to exalt you. When you use the law of God to exalt yourself, well, you see how lowly you are. You reveal your sin. When you exalt yourself and admire how spiritual and righteous and pious you are, you're only going to be humbled. Boast in your goodness, and the law will put you in your proper place, dead in your trespasses. Justify yourself with the good all you have done, and the law reveals you as the sinner that you are. Because there's always someone in the room who is better than you. So take your place, take the law, examine yourselves, and take your place at the lowest place as chief of sinners. And you will be exalted by the bridegroom himself. when he says to you, friend, move up higher, then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. Now, I said it was a trick question where you and I were in the text. To be sure, you and I are indeed in the text. You see, you and I are the Pharisees. You and I are the gentlemen with dropsy. We are the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. You and I are blind in our sin and in no way deserve an invitation to the kingdom of heaven. But thanks be to God that he sent his only begotten Son into our world to suffer and die on Calvary's cross in our stead, so that you and me and all mankind might be sanctified by Jesus' blood. Jesus says, whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And how perfectly can you humble yourself? Not perfect enough. Since you and I cannot, Jesus did it in our stead. No one ever will be able to more perfectly humble themselves than the King of Glory who left the glory of heaven and allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. Humiliating himself, taking on the flesh of a human, he lived among the sick, the dying, the sinful, just so he could be beaten to a bloody pulp and murdered on Calvary's cross in the place of sinners. St. Paul writes, for your sake, God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him you might become the righteousness of God. You see, the point of the parables is to show us the danger of the sin of idolatry. Idolizing the self in pride and thinking too highly of oneself. And it is Jesus alone who took all your sins of idolatry and self-righteousness and loving yourself more than your neighbor and carried all those sins and put them to death on the cross, covering them, washing them in his own blood. And for his sake, he forgives you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In baptism, the Holy Spirit has breathed new life and faith into you, breathed life into your sin-deadened heart, and given you an invitation to the Lord's eternal banquet, which has no end, the resurrection of all those who die in Christ Jesus. And there is no possible way that you can repay Jesus for all his gifts he has won for you. You merely receive. But that does not mean that you and I do not have work to do. Our gospel text this morning is a lesson in Christian humility and in love and service toward your neighbor. We look to Jesus, his sacrificial death and resurrection gives you freedom and courage to live each day as a child of God. Jesus didn't worry about the personal ramifications of the world, the social consequences, and he has freed you to do likewise. In baptism, he gave you the name Christian. And what does a Christian do? Well, a Christian loves the Lord, their God, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and all their strength, and loves their neighbor as themselves. No, you can't do it perfectly, but God has called you to at least try and do your best. A Christian considers others more significant than themselves, and you have the perfect example. Jesus says the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. And indeed, he did do everything that you and I always fall short for. But a servant is not greater than the master. Jesus came to serve you in life, death, and resurrection. And you were joined to him, buried into his death in baptism, and given the promise of life forgiveness and salvation, that new life in the new heavens and the new earth. And he comes to you in this place, in the preaching of his word, and in his body and blood in the Lord's Supper. He strengthens you and enables you to love and serve your neighbor. As you travel through this veil of tears on this side of heaven, humble yourself, love and serve. And then when you leave this veil of tears, he will greet you and serve you in his kingdom at the feast of the Lamb, which has no end. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.